Hey, welcome to HIT. It's High Intensity Tactics for Growth. This is Chris Ciccinelli, and I am excited today. I have a rock star guest. Joining me today is Brittany Ruby Miller. She's the president of Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment in Cincinnati, a premier restaurant group which manages a portfolio of high-end steak houses, widely regarded, well, I regard it, too, as one of the best steaks in the nation. She heads up an organization that is in Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, and leads more than 700 employees. I'm telling you right now, we have a rock star guest. Welcome, Brittany Ruby Miller.
Yay, thank you.
I am so excited. You know what? It's always great to have like a really, I consider like a badass CEO, badass woman here that is leading the charge in your business, in your sector. But you're doing so much, not just in the business world, but in the community. And I want to get to all of these today, but let's get a little bit of background about yourself. How did you get started into the restaurant game?
Well, first of all, thank you, because that means a lot coming from you, Mr. Rockstar himself. I got started, I actually thought when I was in college, I mean, I worked the positions at the restaurant level. I thought I was going to be the next Aaron Andrews.
Oh.
So I did a really cool internship with Channel 5, Ken Brew and George Vogel for sports broadcasting. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm doing. My dad's like, that's awesome. Go do that. And then had a really cool connection with ESPN, Kirk Herbstreit and Tirico. And I did intern with Aaron Andrews at the Alamo Bowl. And I was like, this is really neat. After college, I went to culinary school and realized that I also love to talk about food. Mm-hmm. And I only went to culinary school so that I could walk back in my kitchens and tell my chefs that is absolutely not the way that you do it. And I disagree. And here's the reason why. And here's exactly how you make that roux and bechamel. And I can speak the language. But then I was like, okay, I'm actually really falling in love with this industry. So what was started as me just getting in the business as a kid to have fun and to make money, because my parents did not spoil me. They really were like, if you want $500, you're going to work as a hostess and get your cash. He would give me $500 if I made the dean's list. So,
oh, that was important.
You're darn right. I was on dean's list all the time, but it had nothing to do because I cared about my grades. It was genuinely just to make money. And then, so I was in culinary school, and then I got married, and Caleb was at the time playing for the Bengals, and my first run-in with him in the locker room, he was like, this is not cool, because I'll tell you, I don't know how women do it. I mean, it's everything you would think that a men's locker room is.
Yeah.
So,
stinky,
you know,
a little bit, you know, yeah.
More than stinky. I mean, it was like, I'm at Pure Romance. It's what you're thinking.
Yeah. I can only imagine. It was like, oh my God, hey, the talk, the everything.
So it was crazy. So anyways, but it wasn't that he was like, you're not doing this. It was like, actually, we had some cool opportunities with Food Network and the next Food Network star, and had to make some decisions. And then we did a couple pilots for them, and was like, this is even better. And then through that realized, I was in management and eventually went to the corporate office. But it was about 20 years of going from literally a hostess to corporate office. And the last 3 years I've been president. 3 years before that I was mentored by one of the best in the business, who was with Hilton Worldwide and opened Hilton's all over, and he decided to come for his last 3 years of his career and retire with us to position us to not only grow and to scale, but to mentor me and mentor our corporate team.
Yeah. So I know that a lot of people, when they visit Cincinnati, they when they come in for a Pure Romance event, or they come into whatever, because we have a lot of people that listen that are also in Cincinnati. If you're not, Ruby Steakhouse is, like I said, one of the best in the world.
That's sweet. Thank you.
It is. But here's the thing. And I know that everybody asks the same question about with me is, okay, You have all these different paths, these different options that you could choose. Like, you know, hey, I could go into doing the sports casting. I could go in this doing my own culinary thing. And I choose to come in and work in the family business.
Yes. I mean, like you, fell in love with business.
Yeah.
Fell in love with our brand and what we do. And, there's a lot of cool opportunities, but my dad actually says this: find something you love to do so much that you would do it for free, and then find a way to make a living at it. And through all of those different positions, I realized, like, this is exactly what I want to be doing.
And so you decide, you go in and you're, you know, you've learned all of the different pieces of the business. You also have siblings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Ultimately, you know, running a family business, getting in there, how was it to actually have to prove yourself? What was that process like when you have to
sucked.
Go in?
And it sucks. You know, yeah. it sucks.
Oh,
you've
it's
got a
terrible.
Bullseye on your back. You're like, you better be the first one in and the last one out.
Yeah. Because the people that have been here before you, right? And,
yeah.
and there were people before you as before
right.
me, you know, always looked at us as like probably like kids, you know,
yeah.
like, oh my gosh, they're coming yeah. in asking mom for money or
exactly.
asking dad for money or whatever it might be.
Right.
And now you come in and now you're moving up in the organization and now some of those people are working for you. Now all of them are working
mm-hmm.
for you. How did you have to move through and improve? A lot of people go, oh, you're lucky because that's what your mom did, or mm-hmm. you got more opportunity than anybody else because your parents ran the company
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I find it the other way. And maybe I could, you know, ask you your thoughts on that.
No, I totally agree. That's exactly how it is. And now I'm to the point where, like, I just don't really care what they think.
Yeah.
But it was definitely 10 years of getting over what others think. And when I look at, you know, the next generation coming in, I'll probably do the exact same thing that my dad did. And I hated the process. He always says, I wanted to run the marathon without running the race. And when I graduated from UC with my undergrad, I really thought, oh, I'm just going to go to the corporate office and I'm going to start. I don't care what position it is, but I'm, mm-hmm. I don't need to be a manager. I don't need to be a server. I don't mm-hmm. need to do any of those things. And he's like, get your power suit out of the way. You're actually putting on a server suit. You're
yeah.
going to serve at Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse. I served at the waterfront. And, but luckily for me, we have really great people who work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so Neil Collinsworth, who I actually promoted from GM to director of operations, was my GM. And he was a player's coach. And it wasn't just for me. Everybody
yeah.
around him knows that this guy's got your back. And Charlie Bledsoe was my mentor. So I think they probably knew I was going to
yeah.
eventually be positioned to go into a leadership role. But I mean, I thought about the other day, Charlie Bledsoe texted me and said, like, I love you so much. And I'm like, I love you too. And I'm like, that's probably not normal that,
yeah.
you know, but he doesn't report directly
yeah.
to me. He reports to Neil. But I mean, I genuinely, they're family. I love them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just my brothers as well. This was not something where like, you're just going to do what we say to do. It
yeah.
was building those relationships and earning the trust and being a good person to them. And I think now they're grateful
how you lead. I'm very fortunate that I'm in an organization with you and I get to see your leadership style, and you're truly right. Like, it is family. The way that you operate, the way that you respect your employees, the way that you try to go there and motivate them. And I think that that's important because as the next generation is coming up, and there's a lot of people that are listening going, you know, I want to make sure I make it easier for my kids. I want to make sure I make it better for my kids. I'm sometimes on the flip side, yes, I want to make it that they have a more opportunities or more choices in front of them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not necessarily going to hand them anything. And I see so many people that once they hand a kid something or they hand somebody this and they make
mm-hmm.
it easier. I believe that you have to be uncomfortable to get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we have to push people to the limits to find the best versions of themselves, which I think is something that mm-hmm. you do really well. And I think that's important because as a leader, leading 700 people, you know, that's a pretty big job.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So people want to know this though too. And I mean me. When you look at this and you opened all of these different restaurants that you've been opening, I mean, I'm looking at this. You guys have, when you came on, how many restaurants were there? And now today, how many are there?
Well, I came on at a crazy time because we were closing. When I came to corporate, we were closing Walnut Street Grill.
Yeah.
So literally the next week, my dad's like, go in there, get all of our stuff. It was like an I Love Lucy skit where we're just like taking stuff out. And I called Neil. I'm like, you need to go get our sous vide machine. I mean, it was crazy. Now, it was a couple of weeks actually. So we're like, what can we do to like, we're going to either close this place or
yeah.
we've got to come up with some crazy marketing, some crazy promotions. We found out that people, when they have an expectation of Jeff Ruby steaks
mm-hmm. yeah.
and that level of excellence and food and product, and when they come into a restaurant with a $30 check average or $20 check average, they're just immediately let down. So like, that's lesson learned. So
mm-hmm.
that was kind of interesting to go through. But you know, in the past 4 years we've opened 3 restaurants, doubled in revenue. And but I have a strong opinion about expansion. I definitely do. And
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, my father always said, because he had the precinct for
yeah.
years and then the waterfront, And he said people were constantly saying, you know, you got to get another one. You're so hot right now. You're on fire. And he's like, yeah, well, fire, that eventually goes out.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be really good at those two restaurants for a very long time. I think it was like 10 years later, he opened Jeff Ruby Steakhouse downtown. And he said, I want to watch my kids grow, not my company grow, which he was a great dad. I mean, he was like the dad behind the, I pitched and I was in softball and basketball. He was literally, he wouldn't even sit in the bleachers. He was behind the catcher on the gates, like whole fences holding, going, come on. Like, and then same thing with my brothers. He was coaching football. So he never had a dad and he wanted to be the greatest dad he could. And he was, and he still is. Now he says it's funny because his kids are the reason why he can grow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, you should have had more kids. I kind of like when I see restaurant chef owners or restaurateurs grow rapidly right out of the gates, you know, they just obviously there's a reason why you want to do it.
Yeah.
Right. It's more, it's top line revenue, higher salary for them, higher distributions. Mm-hmm. But what happens if that all fails and you've got it all riding on this? Mm-hmm. Stick to one restaurant or stick to one business. Our precinct is a cash cow. Mm-hmm. I mean, the real estate, the money that is flowing in, we don't have to grow.
Yeah.
It's great now. I mean, we've grown and it helps all of us. We, instead of one restaurant, we're supporting 700 employees.
Yeah.
But it was, if he would have grown, short-term greed, long-term regret. We had to make sure that that brand was operating on all cylinders. And so you talked about metrics, and we really try to maintain that we're 101% better than the competition. So we want to not just be as good, we want to be better.
Yeah, and I know that about you because as you opened Lexington, you know, you've opened Columbus, Nashville's a great location, right? So as you expanded all of those markets, keeping the expectation or keeping the quality, you said it, like we don't want people to walk out. They have an expectation level. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think people today have forgotten.
It's an investment. They have to trust us.
But that's the thing. And that's what I tell even a small business owner that's out there is what is your expectation? What are you willing to deliver? What do you want people to remember about you? Because one of the biggest thing is they might love your steak, right? But they love the product. And the product is the people. The product is everything that you experience, everything that you're bringing to them, to how they deliver, you know, the steak to the table, how they deliver the desserts to the table, how they are clearing the table, how they make you feel when you're greeting them. How do you keep that level of a product? Because people are buying people these days, because people are going, oh, I'm going to go online and go to Yelp, or I'm going to go on to these restaurant places, and I want to see, because somebody said that that's the greatest steakhouse ever, I want to go there. Mm-hmm. How, when you're scaling,
we incentivize our managers on that.
See, okay,
so the scores are real, and it is, we want to be better. So if it's out of a 5 point, you know, 5 stars or something, and the competition's at 4.5, 4.6, 4.7, we better be 4.8, 4.9. We're never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
No one is. But we want people walking out of that restaurant saying, that is the best money I've ever spent. We're expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to save up. It's and if you're coming in once a year for your birthday, that it's like gambling. When you go gambling, you're like, what's my entertainment? How much am I going to spend?
Yeah. Right? Yep. Yeah. I'm the same. Yeah.
Count on losing it the whole time. I'm like, that's a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
There's a pair of shoes. But whatever, I go in knowing I'm going to spend the money, but I better have fun doing it.
Yeah.
And it's, and where we are, and you look at retail and what's happening with e-commerce and Amazon and all of that, it's like, you better give them an experience that they absolutely are okay spending their money. It's like when Toys R Us went out of business.
Yeah.
Think about it. Why would you go to Toys R Us and take your kids? Well, I guess that's fun for the kids. But think about if there was an experience they could, birthday parties, or come in and you remember the old Johnny's
Toys.
That
yes,
like,
you get you would get the key. You would get the key, and you would go into Johnny's Toy, and you go up to the
birthday.
Every birthday you'd go up. You had your little key, you turned it, and then you would go into the little birthday room, and they had that. That was an experience.
That's the
walking
experience.
Through an old ass warehouse of just of just lines of product. I didn't even think that was fun. I walked the kids there at Toys R Us. You're absolutely right. It is the experience from start to finish that people are looking at today. And that is the way in which I've seen your business scale. Is I've been fortunate enough to go to all your restaurants. I haven't been to Lexington yet, but I'm going to be there. And that same experience is Cincinnati, at Precinct, at Ruby's, at wherever it might be. And I think that is something that is important. So you must have a very good training program or systems or is that something that you've been able to develop? Is it some sort of expectations? Is it in the mission statement? Why is it that that level of service can can be across all these seven different restaurants?
Well, I go back to having good people, and believe it or not, no, we don't have good systems right now, but we will within 18 months. Mm-hmm. So we've went through a strategic planning process to where we're going to develop all of our, you know, we have recipes. Are they in the same format? Are they in the same metrics at each location? No, they will be. We'll have SOPs for every single position, but when a lot of it was tribal knowledge and great people who trained other great people to do it. The problem with that, when you're a mom and pop, you know, one-off mm-hmm. restaurants, eventually you have to get to a point where you're like, here's how you run a Jeff Ruby restaurant.
Yeah.
And so through our strategic planning process that we just finished wraps yesterday, actually, we know our SMART goals, each of us. There's nine of us on the, or no, I'm sorry, there's nine SMART goals. One of those are getting that consistent. But like I said, we've had really great people, and yeah. we still do a lot of training. And yeah. my brother, Brandon, oversees all of the learning development. And so it's just going to get more robust. But people who originally started to working for my father, I mean, he was on site at the waterfront at the Precinct every single day. And that's how Charlie got it. That's how Neil got it. And luckily, they've stayed with us mm-hmm. this long.
Yeah.
And so they have been responsible for ensuring that each location gets that, along with my brothers, who we couldn't grow without either one of them.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are in it. You're working it. You're living it. And I think that you know, you're going to continue to improve the system. You're continue to do this. And mm-hmm. I'm the same way that you kind of are stating, and I on the show, I say progress over perfection, right? Like, you're making progress each and every day. You might not have all the handbook on how to run it, but you're making progress to that. The people that you have put in charge are making waves for the organization, yeah. which I think is hugely important. Now, I know money is an incentivizer for people, but how do you create, like, I think people work for money, but I also think people work for, like, the recognition. And how hard is it today for you running this organization and to be able to make the 700 employees? I know, because you got part-time, you got different types of employees in and out. Mm-hmm. How do you make the culture mm-hmm. in your organization so they know what is Brittany Ruby Miller's expectations every day, and everybody knows that? How do you do that with that many people?
It has to be top of mind all the time. We have to constantly be talking about emotional connection. So you can go to any restaurant and get great food. Typically, where people miss the mark in the restaurant industry is through service and emotional connections. That is the Walt Disney World experience that we try to create at the restaurants. Mm-hmm. And so I heard Howard Schultz, heard him speak at the NRA show, and he said the most important position at Starbucks is the store manager. And that is the most important. And I totally agree. If my GMs, even if it's corporate, I mean, if my GMs aren't great leaders and they aren't constantly talking about emotional connections and bending over backwards for the guests and royalty and treating people like royalty and this white glove, five-star, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all of that you just constantly got to be talking about it. What they also do is they're empowered to spend whatever they want to spend to make a great experience for somebody.
So you're empowering these leaders to make it at each restaurant.
Even the hourly. I mean, I get an email. They're called high-touch emails. They send it to the corporate team, and it's, here's the top five ways that we wowed or made emotional connections this week with our guests. Mm-hmm. And they're not fake. You go back to great people. They're genuinely, everyone has this servant's heart, and what can I do to be kind to you or listen for the little things that might blow you away? Yeah. Like, somebody went and got Gold Star the other day. I saw the email, the picture. They were joking about it, and they used to be former execs or something. It's Gold Star.
Yeah.
And so, sorry, Skyline, but anyways, so they brought out on like a silver platter as a joke, all these, you know, conies. And I'm like, that's paying attention to who's in your restaurants and paying attention to the little things. It's not one great big thing. It's 1,000 little things.
But you, my friend, which I love, you get this report, you go through it. Because I came in one day and you knew where I was at, how was my experience. And I thought that was great. And I said, oh my God, how do you know that? They're like, look, we have a system and I go through all this.
Something was off, your peppercorn sauce or something was off.
Yes, and it was. And I was like,
and I didn't. Looking at it, you're like, what?
I'm like, how, you know, but that's the thing. And then, you know.
It's a nightly report.
You know, and I just remembered, you know, saying this to you and to a couple of people about, you know, I really love this veal chop you guys, you know, made. And, mm-hmm. you know, so then 2 times later, I come in and all of a sudden it's there. And those little details, those attention to details, I tell people all the time, you know, they don't go unnoticed. And if you're a business owner out today, you know, sending thank you cards, you know, mm-hmm. going those extra steps, you know, sending text messages during birthdays, you know, making sure that you're doing those small little things, because
you better do it. Otherwise, you're not going to be in business.
You're not. And that's, we're not in a world of transactions anymore.
Right.
I believe we're in a world that, even though everybody thinks that this is the only way we connect on our phones is through, you know, this kind of virtual world, I still think that the value is mm-hmm. the experience that we receive and this gratitude of appreciation that we're coming into different places of business. And when I come into mm-hmm. yours, you're grateful that I'm a client of yours. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that you're there and to be able to serve my people when they come in town. And I think that's the little things that some of these businesses need to make sure that they're applying in 2020.
Yeah, no, totally agree with that.
So vision. So as far as kind of the structure of the next kind of year for you, because we're getting ready to go into another decade, right? It's 10 more years. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably run into, you know, a bunch of people that own businesses and you know, I've been on the road a little bit and people are like, man, I can't wait to get into 2020. And mm-hmm. I have to stop them and say, okay, I want you to get into 2020. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. When you get into 2020, I want you to be thinking of all the things you should have, could have, would have done in the 2019, 2018, the last 10 years, last decade. I want you to go ahead and do me one favor. Don't make the next 10 years the same shoulda, woulda, couldas. Don't do the things that you said you wanted to do and you just didn't get to them because you didn't have time, I didn't have money, I didn't have resources, I wasn't lucky enough, whatever it might be. Go into this new decade with mm-hmm. with this expectation that anything's possible if I put my time into it, put my mind into it. What is it that you're looking for the next 10 years, the next decade, for you, for mm-hmm. for Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment? What does it look like for you guys?
Ooh. So I would say having the company standardized enough, not that each restaurant is just a prototype, mm-hmm. because we totally have to have a design personality that fits that restaurant, yeah. fits that market. Mm-hmm. The food has to fit the market, but enough structure to where we can grow at a healthy rate. So we don't want to open a restaurant for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, we literally just want to get our heads down. You know, I think we're a great company. We thank you for saying we're the best in the world.
I think so.
That's our goal. Yeah. But if we want to do that, yeah. then we've got to keep our heads down for at least the next 18 months while thinking as what's our next move? Mm-hmm. And so getting the family together, and who do we want to be when we grow up? Do we want to have 10, 20, 30 steakhouses? Mm-hmm. I will tell you, we just want to be the best restaurant group in America. Mm-hmm. We want each restaurant in that city to be the best. Mm-hmm. And I have an amazing team. We've got about 30 people at corporate now, which is a lot. We have the people to grow it, mm-hmm. and we are setting ourselves up to do that. Mm-hmm. But I would say, we do not want to get so big. If that is ever an issue where we compromise the integrity of the brand, the restaurants, then we stop.
Yeah.
And we just take a breath again, which is what we're doing. And so, yeah. And it's been great that we've been recognized nationally still, even through the growth model. And I can tell you, we are 101% in each single market that we're in. In fact, when Nashville, Lexington, and Louisville, we're like 105% better than the competition.
Wow.
It's which is great. I mean, we commit. When we open a restaurant, my brothers moved there. I moved to Nashville. Brandon moved to Columbus. Dylan, it was in Lexington. So,
but you guys, you do that. You guys go and you're there. I mean, there is a family member.
We still have not pulled out of Lexington.
I know you guys are still in those
and
in those areas.
No, six months.
But that's the thing. And so when you look at this and you think about your growth, you know, one of the big things too that nobody knows that I wanted to make sure, because I think this is awesome, is you take you've taken this family business, you're continuing to keep going, you're raising four beautiful kids, and ultimately too, you have this this passion for staying a student. I mean, you're going through Xavier, you're getting your MBA. What was the reasoning? Was that to help you with planning? Was that to help you with getting better? What was the reason that the MBA was something that you wanted to go after? I mean, you didn't really have to, did you?
No, my mentor said, don't actually. I think it's gonna do more harm than good. And so I went in because I do like to learn, but I also went in because of what you mentioned, the family business, you know, president, CEO, the founder's kid, and I'm a woman, and there certainly was something from a credibility standpoint. My mentor's going, what do you need to prove yourself for? Like, look at your company, look at what you've done, look at your team. You've read every book that there is to man, known to man in leadership, and you can't manage through a book, but like, why? Okay, so I go, and the first class is strategy, and learning really the science behind strategy and diversity and inclusion, and reading case studies about systemic racism, equal rights. I was totally naive. I mean, if you look back at Coors Light in the 80s, and they're fine now, I'm sure that they've overcome everything, but they were firing homosexual people. I'm like, this is in the 80s. They were firing people that they still, Cracker Barrel, like, you're, is that bad? I'm mentioning the names.
No.
I mean, you can look these up in the Harvard Business Review, but I'm going like, this is real? Yeah. Oh my God. And then you're looking at the studies on white privilege, and, and which is beyond, it's sickening.
Yeah.
What other races have to deal with. So getting into the actual statistics and the studies of what's really going on in our culture and in our country and in the world, that to me is like, oh, I think I'm going to stick this thing out because there's probably a whole lot more than I can learn.
I will tell you right now, I am looking at an executive program because of you, because I've thought, you know what, there's some things that you've been able to teach me, and I want to be able to learn more about that stuff, because there is so much that, you know, I always tell people I graduated 167 out of 169 in high school. That was not the, you know, that wasn't the best of my time.
How do you like me now?
Yeah, you like
me now. That Toby Keith song, that should be your mantra.
Yeah. Okay, you said it, and I'm so glad you said that, because with everything that's going on right now in the world, you are a woman in a power position, and you're part of an organization with me. We don't see a lot of, I think there's five women out of 80 some odd people that are there. I mean, I work for all women. I report to 27,000 women worldwide that are awesome business owners, right? So I'm kind of in the inverse. I'm kind of I'm the minority on the other side. So how is it for you in the business world to be taken seriously, to be taken for real?
Yeah, I'm over it now. I mean, it's like, take it or leave it. Here's who I am. I know I've earned it. I'm confident in that. I'm not cocky or egotistical. I just know my value. And but it wasn't always that way. And it's still sometimes I can kind of get glimpse of it in meetings where I'm the only female, and there's, you know, just let me just take this right in. I'm like motioning to Chris, like, shut up. Like, sometimes I get that, you know, like, downplay a little bit, know your role. And I think it goes back to the confidence piece and being strong. And if you're in a position, you're in a business, you have to know the business.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, male or female, you're going to get called out. You have to know your stuff. But you've also got to just exude confidence and really believe in yourself. You can't just say, oh, I believe in myself. You have to really believe that you're smart enough. And what I've also found that helps me is I have great male mentors. I have a female too. But I have great male mentors that have built huge companies.
Yeah.
Who are in leadership consulting, and like I said, Russell with Hilton, I talked to him last week, and he's drilling me about what I'm doing with the hotel business, and you know, and how my cream spinach wasn't that great at his last. So of course we're fixing that, but you know, I get the confidence from them as well, because they're like, you know, that helps a lot for me. So women should find people of the other sex that can let them know, like, those guys are crazy, right? Keep doing what you're doing. It's good. It feels good. So that's been helpful. And then my dad, obviously, having my back and you know, really pushing me for 20 years to finally say, literally, Russell and my dad, it was like, here's the keys.
Yeah.
I'm gone next week. Russell left within a week. I'm like, are you serious? Like, that's it? He's like, you don't need me anymore. You're good. Here are the keys.
Yeah.
And so I was empowered by very strong men in my life. And if they believe in me and my team believes in me, and my brothers believe in me, where, you know, they're like, keep doing what you're doing, leading this company. My brothers fully support me in the position I'm in, and we all have mutual respect for what we're doing in the organization. Then I better get over this whole thing that I'm a female.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing, you know, when you look at this, you know, you said it before in the beginning, the first thing you said is, you know, I have to believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And you do. And you take a lot, you take a lot of time to either A, from a student perspective, to learning, to faith, to you know, working out, getting mental time. I saw you were doing a little mental time this morning, little yoga.
Yep.
And you know, and that's important, because I do believe all of that is, it plays into, yes, you get feedback from all these other people, but until you can mentally get yourself in a good position to take criticism, to take information, to take positivity into you, we've got to be centered with ourselves.
Totally.
And I think you are completely that person. I watch you on your Instagram, and if you have not followed her Instagram, it's just Brittany Ruby Miller, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? I think so.
Britt Ruby Miller.
Yeah, you got to follow her on Instagram. Sure. Fantastic. But you see that, and you see that side, that you're not just an entrepreneur or you are running a business, but you're also taking care of yourself and both, like I said, in all the different levels. And I think that's important for business owners that are out there listening. Now, Brittany,
too, because it's the gas tank model. So when your gas tank, if you look at the gas tank, serotonin, adrenaline, if all of that is, if you're not filling your gas tank with things that are good in your life, what your empty box is, what do you do when you go home that is totally just, you need to zone out, shut that down, shut that off, and zone out. But I think about that for my employees too.
Yeah.
Where if I know someone's gas tank is empty and they want to go be put on a progression plan and what, you know, give me what I need to do to grow, literally, I'm like, you don't have the capacity.
Yeah.
Your gas tank is so empty right now that you're not even making sense up here. And so it's not just me, it's having the emotional intelligence to be able to understand where other people are. And sometimes it backfires because they want to keep climbing the corporate ladder. And I'm like, you know, in our leadership training, we talk about suicide, depression, adultery, you know, child molestation. We go through a lot of stuff. This guy reads his story, basically, which he doesn't talk about. Do you have this going on? No, it's like, here's my story, but I also built a $200 million company and then blew it and then had to learn the hard way. Mm-hmm. So through that process of opening it up with a safe place to talk about all those things and this gas tank model, you would be amazed how many people come forward afterwards and say, this was my suicide note.
Yeah.
Or, and I'm not there anymore. Thank you. I'm talking dozens of people.
It's amazing how many people are struggling with things today. And that's where, you know, my whole process is, you know, taking time for yourself, taking time to be able, and people are like, I just don't know where to find it. And, you know, I believe you have to make time, because my mom always said, you can't love others until you love yourself.
It's very true.
And that is a big thing that we talk about. When I'm on the road, you know, I always end with that. I always say, hey, listen, just remember when you're walking down here, we get to design our life. We get to choose the things. Because I don't believe that money is the currency of life anymore. I believe that choice is a currency of life.
Yeah.
And if you have choices to accept the victim role or to accept the valor role. And I tell people all the time, I choose over here.
Yeah.
I choose the role of going out there, helping people each and every day. And what you're doing for your team and how you're leading and inspiring so many. I know that you had a TED Talk with about 600 people, 700 people the other day. And it was a rock star show, I heard. And I'm just super impressed.
Thank you.
I want to have you come back on. Would you do that at some point?
All right, good.
Because I know that people are going to hear some of the tactics and things like that. But Brittany Ruby Miller is amazing. And if they want to find you anywhere, if they, you know, I know we talked a lot about Jeff Ruby's, but is there a way that you know, like Instagram, you're on Facebook or anything else?
I'm on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter.
Yep.
My dad does enough of that where I have like PTSD and I can't even take Twitter anymore. But I am on Instagram and Facebook. And
is Instagram the best way to follow you?
I'm over Facebook too. I mean, I'm going to try, but if you really want to know who I am, you should follow my stories. Sometimes they're a little bit too much information, but they're fun.
They are fun. Well, I appreciate you coming on today. I'm super excited to have you as a guest on HIT. Remember, this is everything that we do is high intensity tactics, and Brittany Ruby Miller is another one of those awesome, awesome entrepreneurs, awesome leaders that we have on the show. Remember, go out there, rate us, review us, let us know how you think about this show. And remember, you get to live life by design each and every day. You have the pen, you have the pencil, you have the paper to write a new chapter today. Have a great one.